Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Grace has found me just as I am. I came empty-handed, but now I'm alive in your hand. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Say, Majesty, Majesty. Say, Majesty. Second Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. We're going to take it together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. I want to go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now you remember that all scriptures are written by the inspiration of God. And that means Apostle Paul was writing under a divine inspiration. And under that divine inspiration, he spelled out three things without which you can never come into the fullness of the understanding of the God life. You can never come into the fullness of the understanding of the God life without these three things. So Paul, trying to wrap up everything he was saying, he concluded by telling the Corinthian church, as with other churches, of course, he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not just many other lords. The Lord, article D. Are we here together? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. In other words, they are working together. It's not all the love of God. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In this verse, we have the Father represented, the Son represented, and the Holy Spirit represented. Can you see that? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that's the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So three of them. He says all of them be with you. Ah, you are dangerous. Only you. Everything be with you. He didn't say you just enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. Or you just love of God. No. Or the communion of the Holy Spirit. No. And one cannot exist without the other. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot know communion and intimacy if you have not known love. You cannot understand fellowship, communion, if you have not encountered the love. And it is not possible for you to experience grace without a foundation of love. I see some of you are trying to think. The grace of God is the riches of God in all its fullness and varieties, accessible only through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he says here that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I understand that this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ stems from a foundation. And that foundation is the foundation of the Godhead. meaning that the God Almighty, you can see that it's not following the regular order, you know, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now it's looking like it's Son, Father, and Spirit. So someone would have said, Paul should have said, the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Is that not? That's what you would have thought. But like we have always told you, that everything that has to do with the Trinity, one is not greater than the other. Jesus is not less than the Spirit. The Spirit is not less than the Father. The Father is not less than the Son. For some ease and convenience, it is easier to say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you have to say the Holy Spirit, Son, and Father, you're not still wrong. But you and I know that sometimes you are setting up a business or doing something and you want the way the name to flow. So maybe your names are Adeyemi, Oreoluwa, Benedict. Then you want to form an acronym. And you discover that if you use Adeyemi, Oreoluwa, Benedict, it's what? AOB. Ah, that looks sweet. Then you say, let's try it this way. B-O-A. Boa. Ah, I don't want to be Boa. I don't want to be Boa. You get what I'm trying to say here now? It's still your name, but you don't want, you just know that. Then you switch it. Then you get that one you want. And you say, this one is better. Let's use it like that. So that's how it is for many people. Just say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's easier like that. But it doesn't mean that the Father is superior to the Son and the Son is superior to the Holy Spirit. Three of them work in partnership. Three separate personalities, one. Are we here together? Listen to me attentively. Something will drop today. Jesus, now listen, Jesus is the conduit for the transmission of the grace of God. So many of us have water in your tank. You have water inside of your tank, but you need pipes to pass it into your house. Am I making sense here now? So God's grace is the water in your tank. The communication of that grace, bringing it into your house, is the pipe, the conduit. So Jesus is the pipe that transmits the grace of God. Well, that looks a little easier. Is that not? Easy, is that not? So I want to pass grace to humanity, but it is not easy for men to encounter my grace. So I will send them a system of communication of this grace. So that's why it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, it's because Jesus is the one conveying the grace. So the Bible says that that grace lives inside of him. Grace dwells inside of him. He is the channel through which God dispenses his grace. So if the Godhead wants to dispense a blessing to the life of any person in humanity, they will have to pass it through Jesus Christ. By grace ye are saved. Is that not? By faith ye are saved, rather. By grace you are saved. Through what? Okay, so your salvation came by the grace of God. But the grace of God did not appear except that it came through who? Jesus Christ. So I have assessed God's grace today because Jesus made himself available as pipe. Do you understand that? So if the pipe happens not to be available, I will not be able to assess the grace. That's why you cannot start blessing people. You cannot just meet people everywhere all over the world and start saying, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. The blessing of God, there is a general blessing that applies to all humanity. But you see, the blessing of divine grace that first manifests itself in salvation is what any person can experience before they can sit on the foundation of the varieties of grace that will be available. So if I start proclaiming a blessing over somebody and after I'm done, the person says, you know, I'm a Buddhist, but I like this, your Jesus, just continue. It will not make any sense. If I do not take that person to the foundation of grace, I have not done anything good to the person. It's like saying the person will not be able to, you know, understand God, but he likes the things that God gives. He doesn't know the source, but he likes that the fact that it is coming out from the pipe. So just give me whatever is coming out from this, your pipe, Jesus. I am not interested in him. Don't you understand what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people want. So they just want to gather and they like, you know, people who are not, they don't have a relationship with Jesus, but they like you to do prayer meetings. Everybody likes prayer. Just pray for me. You are blessed. You are blessed. Amen. 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 Ah, my life. Receive favor. Receive honor. Receive everything. Under whose foundation? How will that happen? So he begins to establish it and he says, wait, listen, this grace, although God is the custodian and it is his grace, but it is coming through the person of Jesus. So Jesus did not say that he is everything. He says, I am the way. It will pass through me. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. Did you get it? Is this complex? No, this is not an advanced class. It's basic as it could be. So Paul speaking here, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. These three, if you are not properly acquainted with the three of them, you will not know what this kingdom is really about. Grace is the word charis, and it means supernatural gift that enables a person to do what they ordinarily would not have been able to do. Can you save yourself? No. Grace was made available. So by grace you are what? Saved. So grace is the enabling force that brings salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Are we here together? Is anybody going to see here now? I want to be able to break down these three for you tonight before we get into the communion, because you're about to take communion and I want you to have understanding. It is the communion that is bringing me through this route, but I want you to have understanding. Listen very well tonight. So Jesus is God's gift of grace. In other words, what they are actually drinking, that grace, the pipe itself, Jesus. What's flowing through that pipe itself is Jesus. So say, but how would that happen? Very simple. God prepared a body that will come to the face of planet Earth so that that body is the fullness of grace and truth. Remember what the word of God says about Jesus. Are we here together? Grace is a person. Truth is a person. Do you understand what I'm saying here right now? So Jesus Christ came to the face of planet Earth. He is the way God wants to show that he is gracious is by giving us Jesus. So God's graciousness is expressed in the release of his precious gift. And the gift of grace is in the person called what? Jesus. So I want men to know how good and how gracious I am. What will I give them? Jesus. So for God so loved the world, the love of God, that he gave his only begotten son, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. They have come into fellowship, union, oneness, intimacy, but have everlasting life. I'll come again. God, wanting to express how gracious he is, seeing the condition of men, that men have become hopeless. So even the Bible says that, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. Put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 rather. 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became what? So that you, through his poverty, might be made what? In other words, grace is an exchange. It takes your poverty and it gives you God's wealth. And God's wealth is eternal life. So he's taken away your old wretched life and has given you his grace. And that is grace is what has supplied you with the kind of life you have now. Because ordinarily, you can never save yourself. Wretched, wasted, abandoned, useless, all humanity. Then God said to himself, how will I save humanity? I will send my gift of grace, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. So Paul speaking here is explaining to them, he says that grace that God released, it came in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that it was as a result of the love of God that he gave us his. He gave us his what? His son, his grace. Are we here together? So if I love you, I will show it. So God says, I love you. How will I show it? By giving you grace. And grace is who? His son, Jesus. So the love of God has been revealed to us in such a way that because God so loved us, he has opened his riches of grace. And he's saying, I've allowed it to flow. Grace only flows from a heart of love. It is because of the love of the Father that he extends his grace. Does this make any sense to anybody here? It is because you love a particular person that you give them gifts. That's why they say that there is love in what? Sharing. So if I share, it's assumed that I do what? Love. You get what I'm saying here now? So God shared his only begotten son as an expression of his word, love. So Paul, trying to help these guys understand, he said, listen to them. He's listening to me right now. He said to them, the grace, he said, you need to come to understanding of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means the riches of God that is packaged in a person called Jesus. It came as a result of the love of God. In other words, because God so loved the world, he has packaged a gift for us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I don't know if all these scriptures are explaining anything to you. Are you getting it at all? So out of the benevolence of God, out of his heart of love, he decided to show it by releasing grace. And grace is all of the gifts of God in all its varieties. The gift of salvation, the gift of favor, the gift of mercy, the gift of life, everything. The Bible says that God of all grace. In other words, God is the one who has all grace. Then he decided to package that grace in the person called who? Jesus. And that grace now lives inside of who? You. In other words, you are an embodiment of what? Grace. So Paul wanted them to understand. He now said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that they will not come to a place or a point where they begin to think that they can get anything in this kingdom outside the person of Jesus. Am I communicating tonight? So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has been made available to us. If he can give his son to you, then what is it that he cannot give to you? So Paul speaking said that, okay, actually what I am today, I am what I am by the word grace of God. Number two, our salvation also comes by what? The grace of God. Number three, we are also kept and sustained by what? The grace of God. So Paul said, you need to know the grace. Your salvation came by the grace. Your sustenance will come by his grace. Everything you ever become in your life will come by his word, grace. In other words, it was the supply of God's grace that has brought us where we are. We would have been messed up, abandoned, shattered, useless. Satan would have made a mess of our lives if not for the grace of God. The enabling power of God, the sustaining power of God, the life-giving force of God, the ability of God with which he will bring a beggar from a dunghill, a person who is messed up and destined for eternal destruction. And by the pouring of grace upon that person, the person experiences eternal life. That's why you are saved by grace. Not by your works. Every of your works, whatever you tried, did it work? It didn't work. Your works did not work. It took grace to work for you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? So you need to come to that consciousness every time you stand before the Father that you are not here because you made it by yourself. You are not here because you are smart in your own eyes. You are not here because you are wise. You are not here because you know how to do it. It was just the revelation of what? The grace of God. If not for the grace of God. So let's consider, where would we have been? Huh? If a woman is caught in the act of adultery, stone her, die. If a person plants two vineyards, he's not supposed to plant, it is sin, they flog him. By now, all of you have marks on your bodies, on your head. Some people not have survived the mark. If a person is caught in the street corner and he does it, bring him for the community, they flog him. that's what we are doing. Many of you, you will not be here. Will you be following somebody that is flogging you every day? And they will just call you before the congregation of the people and bring you out, and the priest will stand and the priest will pass the judgment that you are guilty. Then those who are trained in the art of flogging will now come out and bring their whips and they will wipe you. And when they are done wiping you, you will go back and you will still be worshipping the wiping. Over 300 and 630 something or 603 there about laws codified in ordinances that not even the priest himself was sure of keeping. So that even if the priest is entering the Holy of Holies, they'll tie bell on his waist. Boya, he will not come back again. That means as the priest is going, he would have told his wife and children, "Go sure for me. You see, I'm not very sure of myself. As I am going like this, peradventure anything happens, you take over, take care of your mother, take care of your sisters." But where is he going to? He's about to enter the Holy of Holies, where love is supposed to flow from, but judgment was coming from there. Everything coming from that place was judgment. It was judgment, punishment. Everything had judgment. But it was not because God hated them. It was because God was trying to set a system for them to live according to the rules. But brothers and sisters, the rules were rules because it was difficult for any of them to keep. So they were living their lives in fear of death. They were living their lives a day at a time, not being sure of what will happen. And if peradventure they waited till the day of atonement once a year, the animal that will be used for sacrifice will be used for sacrifice, and that animal will suffice for only how long? 1 year. Kai. They were in perpetual bondage. Then the Bible says that God, who is rich in mercy, in due time, after he had calculated the risk of sending his son, you don't understand, and understanding that if he sends this his son right now, this is my all that I am sending, he will suffer. Even Jesus got to the cross. You know, as the Holy of Holies, the high priest goes and he's not sure whether he will come back. Do you understand? But Jesus was going and he was sure and more convinced. But in the flesh, you saw that he got there and he said, let me commit this my soul into your hand. Because where I'm about to enter is serious. So even Jesus had to hand over everything. Then he went and faced death. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that I can become righteous, who knew no righteousness. You didn't get that. When Jesus was going to do that sacrifice, he did not sin. He was made sin. You don't understand. You know it's different when somebody sins. Jesus kept 600 and something plus ordinances from day one till the day he was face to face to the cross, and he did not default in any. And that's why the Pharisees and the high priest, they were looking, Bible says they were looking for an occasion against him, but they could find none. He was the sinless Lamb of God. He was the only person qualified to carry grace in that container. And when his blood was being poured on the cross of Calvary, it's like puncturing the tank and saying, "Everybody start drinking grace. Drink, 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 drink." You don't understand what I'm saying here. He had to be one by one. Anytime the river is stirred, whoever enters first, then grace came to the river and chose who to show mercy. "I will have mercy on whom I will." You don't understand. You need to understand every day of your life. Just like Paul said, "Indeed, I am what I am by the grace of God." If not that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, as you are here right now, all of a sudden, just outside, party is your portion. No, it's very easy. It's, I don't know. You don't always know. You always understand what Jesus has done. If you understand it, it's an insurance policy. Grace provides an insurance cover. So you know what insurance companies do when your car has an accident and it has a cover. You don't start fighting the driver. You snap it and call your insurance company. Hello, the car. You don't even need to say my car. You say the car. The one you are collecting premium for. He has accident. Please send us the pictures, details. We will need to send the representative. No problem. Just send whatever I send it. Driver, Odabo, they will meet you here. Uber, I'm going home. You don't need to cry. If it is something that needs a replacement, the insurance company understand they have that responsibility. Because they took premium. Hello? So they have to pay. But Jesus Christ, considering your low estate, knowing fully well that you don't have what it takes to pay back, he said all you need to do is to believe. And because you have believed, he said from today, you have an insurance policy. Sir, it is not life insurance. It is eternal life insurance. You don't understand? It's not an insurance that covers your bios, your natural life. It's an insurance that covers and secures you eternally. So others are walking on the street and they are scared. They are telling themselves, if the trumpet sound like this, we're not sure. This is not Niger bet. Salvation is not Niger bet. It's not too sure. It's not Baba Jemu. No. It is an assurance that we have that the life we kept in. That's why we say, give God your life. Is that not? That I kept it in his hand. Paul said, I am persuaded that whatever I have committed into his trust, he will hold it until the day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't go about like every other person in town. I'm scared. What will happen? If the rapture of God sounds now, I'm not even sure what will happen. No, not me. We changed. Because the Bible says something very clear. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Is anybody getting what this grace is about? It is this same grace that keeps you, so that while you are walking as a child of God, it is because of the grace of God upon your life that you see what is wrong and you know that this is wrong. I'm not supposed to do it. Grace is speaking over you. You don't understand? Grace teaches you to deny ungodliness. That's why a person who has not accessed this grace, or maybe accessed the expired version, can act anyhow and behave anyhow. But the person who accessed the right one, even though you know you have an insurance policy and cover, you don't go and hit the trailer. So I want to show, I want to prove. Because you can hit the trailer and die. And now the car is covered. Are you covered? You see, that's the difference. So the person even knows that he has premium, but he will not do that. If the accident happens, that is a different thing. The insurance covers. That's why he says we do not go about willfully. Shall we continue in sin that grace? But that means we should be having accident every day since there is grace. He said, no, God forbid. How will it be that those of us who know that we have this insurance policy and cover will now live like that? No, we're not supposed to. Are you getting this message? You have to always get the balance. Anytime grace is spoken about, you need to get the balance. Or else somebody takes it out of context. So you see that what we are now, we are what we are by the grace of God. In other words, that I will encounter and see Jesus face to face, it's not because I did any works. It was by the grace of what? God. Number two, my salvation, that I am saved now. It did not come because I was very smart and knew what to do. No, it was also by the grace of God. Then my being kept till the day Jesus will appear will also be by the grace of God. God. The Bible says that it is God who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless. He is able to. Since I gave God my lifetime and he's been taking care of me, he will never ever let me down. Oh, I have given God my lifetime. eternal life, eternal. I am living eternal life. God has saved my soul. I am living eternal life. God has saved my soul. Say eternal. Son of the Father. John speaking, he says, now you have eternal life. Now you have eternal life. Now the life of God has been released to you at the expense of Christ. He was the sacrifice that was paid for the release of the grace. So the grace of God would not have been released if Christ was not battered on the cross. But that he had been battered and wounded and died and raised from the dead. Grace has been released. Now I have the life. He cannot die and I will die. He died so that I will live. And that's why I'm alive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then the next thing there, he says, the love of God. I won't go, you know, time, one service is not enough to talk everything about grace. So let's just go. Just as I said earlier that God is the custodian of grace and grace came through Jesus. God is love and Jesus is the expression of the love. How will God show us that he loves us? He cannot just be telling us, I love you, I love you, I love you, brother and sisters. It doesn't make any sense. For 7 years, a guy has been telling you he loves you. He does not see your daddy, he doesn't see your mother. He's not committed. He's a criminal. 7, the number of perfection, yet you are not perfected. Three years, the number of resurrection, yet your relationship is dying every day. If you love me, you will prove it. How will you prove it? You will come to the required authorities. You will go and walk your head out, sweat, and pay. And in the culture prevalent in this western part of the world, Yoruba culture, you will go and bow down. You go and lie down. You know, you now go and bebe fe. Do you get what I'm saying here right now? So you see that you need to understand that God wanted to show how he loved us. For God commended his love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He died in advance. You don't understand? He died in advance. In other words, I am dead though, and I know, and I believe that one day you will come to the revelation, and if you accept me, you are fine. So he didn't wait to say that, you see, the day you accept me, I will die. The price was paid over 2,000 years ago. And those who are born now and accept it, that price is still valid. So if you were not born then, you would have been telling the generation that it has been paid in advance, is that not? The same thing I'm saying now. If Christ tarries another 100 years, those who will be living in 50 years will say that the price was paid in advance. Because even before they were born, the price was paid. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? And God does not just show love. God is love. Someone say God is love. He is the foundation of love. And God's love is agape. That is the faultless love. The love that cannot be faulted. It is God's love that caused him to release his treasure of grace. So like I told you earlier, you remember what I said? That it was because God loved us that he released grace. You do not release that grace if you don't have a heart of love. You will not take something that is treasured by you and give to somebody. It is because of something coming from a heart of gracious heart that you extend that hand. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So the love that we are enjoying today, Paul was speaking and he said, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ understand that you are what you are by the grace. Then now says, it also needs to know that the love of God should be with you. know that the grace of God is with you. Understand that the love of God is with you. In other words, you are not going to appear and be feeling condemned, feeling as if you are useless, feeling as if you don't make sense, feeling as if you don't count. Never. Why? Because I'm under the canopy of His grace and love. And when you're under the canopy of God's grace and love, you are not scared. Hello? Hello? If a child is carried by the father, the little child doesn't know much about accidents, but he's not scared. Now, even if he knows that the accidents are as fast as in the hand of the father, he's not bothered. How many of us have seen how you carry little children? You throw them up and hold them. The baby, even if he's scared, the fear of the baby does not nullify my desire to hold. Did you get that? So even though you pass through the waters, he says, I am there. I won't let you drown. Even if I throw you up, and you're like, I won't let you fall. My banner over you is what? Love. So the reason why God is doing what he's doing and why he will keep us and sustain us is because he does what? He loves us. I am loved. Beloved. And that's why John was able to say it clearly. Jesus didn't call the guy beloved. The guy caught a revelation and called himself beloved. It was not Jesus that said, your name is John the beloved. No. By the way he and Jesus related, he said, there's something in this man's heart that has connected. I am his beloved. Why? Because the other disciples will have to discuss with John certain things they want him to discuss with Jesus. How many of you have been there before? There's one child in the house. Yeah. See, when you get to daddy, see what you tell daddy. Why are you sending that child? Because you ordinarily are letting that child create an awareness in that child is like there's a special love with which they have loved you. So we don't know. So you always know how to get it. Are we here together? So, child of God, listen to me this evening. Jesus was sent to us as a testament of the love of the Father. So the Father wanted to prove that he really loves us. So he decided to send Jesus. Then Paul said, the love of God, let it be in your heart. Let it stay with you. Let it keep you secured. Let that love assure you that there's no shadow he won't light up, and there's no mountain that he won't climb up coming after you. Let that love assure you that in the deepest darkness, he is the light that shines bright. Let that love assure you that even times where you are not getting everything the way you want it going, you can be assured that he is the light that shines forth from that darkness. Let that love keep your heart. Paul was trying to help them understand that you cannot have intimacy in fear. It only takes a person who has a heart of love. Perfect love casts away what? Fear. The reason many believers never enjoy intimacy with the Father is that they are afraid. They are scared. They are scared. If a man is having relations with his wife and is always threatening her every day that I will soon drive you away from this house. Come, let's just do it. I'll soon drive you. In the midst of what she's doing, she's scared. She's afraid. She's not sure what will happen tomorrow. Yet, it's as if the man is using her. But God is saying, I'm not using you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I'm telling you and I'm reassuring you that I really do love you and I care about you. And the proof of that love is that eternal life. That I have given a policy that is securing you eternally. They that are alive and remain. If you remain, don't you understand? That's why Paul said, abide in the Father's love. Stay in the Father's love. Stay there. Don't wander away from it. Don't move to the left or to the right. Stay in the Father's love. Child of God, when you're going out in the morning, stay in the Father's love. When you're walking around town, stay in the Father's love. When things are not going the way they seem they should go, just stay in the Father's love. When it looks like everybody's telling you, listen, are you sure it's going to work? Stay in the Father's love. Stay there. In his love lies security. In his love lies protection. Have you not seen the attribute of his love in 1 Corinthians? The Bible says that the love of God is patient. The love of God is kind. Love does not seek evil. Love is not waiting for you to make mistake and laugh. You don't understand what I'm trying to say here now. No, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It only rejoices in truth. God is not excited when you make mistakes. God is not excited and wanting to carry came and say, No, that's not God. Every time you take a step out, his heart is burning for you. Because he's looking at you and he's saying, I love you. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to live like this. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying tonight. Do you understand this, church? Can you put your hand on your chest and say, he loves me? Can you put your hand on your chest and say, Jesus loves me? The Almighty Father loves me. Now, can't you even see it? When we talk about the grace that is God's grace, we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about love, are you what I'm saying now? We will now always say Jesus loves me. We don't always say God loves me. We always say Jesus loves me. Is that not? Jesus loves me. Everything is Jesus loves me. But who is love? God. So how did God show his love? By preparing Jesus to come and die. And how is he showing his love for us today? By saying that every time, every step of the way, I am not waiting for you to make any mistake to judge you. My desire is to help you come out. I do not like to see you in your mess. I always want to turn your life around so that people can see that I'm a wonderful father. I'm a loving father. Does anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Is it making any sense to you? Are you sure it's making any sense to you now? So God's love is his delight on us that made him take away the sentence of death hanging on our neck. He released grace because of love. So grace is an expression of the love of God. Romans chapter 5 and 6 to 9 shows that. Romans 5, 6 to 9, then let's move to communion of the Holy Spirit. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the what? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man. Somebody can choose to die for a good man. He said no. But God commended his love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He loves me. He loves me. So listen. If you have not come through the passage of accepting the love of God, you cannot experience the grace. Can you see how it works? So you accept the love of God. That's why when we're leading people to Christ, you say, Lord Jesus, is that not? I believe in my heart that you died for me. You are accepting love. I receive forgiveness. You are accepting love because love forgives. Are we here together? So as soon as you say, I believe in Jesus, what you're doing is that you're saying, I am accepting love. Then when you do that, grace is imparted in the form of what? Eternal life. First, salvation. Then after that time, the God of all grace begins to reveal different dimensions of grace upon your life. From grace to grace. From grace to grace. So you need this particular kind of grace, you come to pray, and because of the foundation of love, he supplies. You need this kind of grace, you come to pray, because of the foundation of love, he supplies. So Paul speaking, he says, for God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So the foundation of Christ Jesus gives God the access to supply all my needs. Then as that begins to happen, I now understand what it means to have communion. I love you. And you say, I love you too. Then, I pay your bride price. That means my account is now your account. My money is now your money. Grace. Then, if the man taps the woman at night, she cannot run away. That's the communion of the Holy Spirit. So in all... So you see that it starts with, I love you. Is that not? That's the declaration. Is that not? Show it. I'll go the extra mile. I'll look for money. I'll make the commitment and sacrifice. I'll pay. Then he pays the bride price. As soon as he pays the bride price, grace is now open to you. You will now open your mouth and say, Olowo Orimi. That Olowo Orimi, don't deceive yourself, guys. What they are saying is that all that you have is now on my head. All your money is now on my head, you spend it. Everything about your life is now on my head, you spend it. That's what they're saying. It's not the other way around. Now, what am I trying to teach you? I'm trying to help you see that the love of the Father poured out made him release Jesus Christ, his son, as the price that was paid. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he was the price that was paid for us. So as soon as that price has been paid for us, the next thing is that we now come into intimacy. So Jesus Christ, after he paid the price, he now said, wait, I will go. When I go, I am the one that will discuss with the Father about his promise. So it was even Jesus that released the Holy Spirit. Two stars, two number 10 players cannot play on one pitch. When Jesus started playing, he played for salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to play for intimacy. So as soon as Jesus leaves the pitch, pound, while he was leaving the pitch, you know, he was preparing to come and die for our sins all the while, is that not? Then somewhere along the line, he entered the pitch. And he came around and he saw men battered, wounded. He started doing things like a super striker. So Jesus kept striking everywhere. Struck the head of the devil, struck the head of the demons. Beat all of them upside down. Then he got to the goalpost on the cross of Calvary. And he said, it is finished. Then as soon as he scored the goal, the Father said, Jesus, it's okay, come back home, come back home. So he moves out of the pitch. And he says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit now said, I am here to play. And when he comes to play, we are not struggling to score. Our desire is to enjoy. Because the goal has been what? Scored. And after he scored the goal, in fact, the post has been removed. On the pitch, now what we're having in the pitch is a party. God has called us now in this disposition to a season of intimacy and fellowship. No longer a struggle of performance. No longer a struggle of how well you want to do it. No. He's saying, just be looking at me. Behold, and you become. Behold, and you become. Just stay. So Paul, teaching them, explained to them that it starts with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's an unmerited, but you assess it through the love of the Father. And as soon as that is established, there is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Child of God, this communion we are taking this evening is the communion of the blood of Jesus. But the communion of the blood of Jesus brought us into another communion. It is called the communion of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the blood of Jesus is an entrance, a passage that brings us into the intimacy and the depth of our walk with the Holy Spirit. So in your walk with the Holy Spirit, you must understand how it works here. It is a fellowship. The word communion means participation. In other words, we are playing together. We are doing it together. It means fellowship. Is that not? And when you're having fellowship, one of the signs they used to show fellowship is to hold our hands together. Today, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it by yourself. Hold my hands. Let me hold your hands. Let's do it together. Let's play together. Let's run your life together. Let's run your career together. Let's run your business together. When you wake up in the morning, you must have fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You want to rest at night, you also have what? Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the fellowship is long, sometimes it is shorter. The longer, the better, if it is intimate. Every book I have read for couples on how to build intimacy, they always say, be together. Learn to spend time together. Learn to spend time together. Learn time to spend together. So if you want intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you must learn to spend time together. If you spend time together with Him, you will know Him more. He will know you more. As you have some friends that are so close to you that you have become too vulnerable because of their closeness. You don't know this kind of friends. They have become so close that you always discuss everything with them. You are one wondering. Sometimes you feel like you are mumu. Have you ever been there before? Then you feel like, mumu, I talk too much. This girl just took everything from my mouth. You've not been there. Then you don't have friends. If you have very intimate friends, you just realize that you talk too much. That is how it is with the Holy Spirit. When you are with him, he does not know when he's already talking too much. Not you talking, he's the one. So you'll be hearing people who have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Every small thing. I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. You'll now be envious. Like, what's this one? Now only the Holy Spirit they talk to. The reason is because the Holy Spirit is just enjoying intimacy with them. So every little thing is just a smudge. In fact, to the little details of things happening around, to the extent that the neighbor is walking into the house and the neighbor is frowning somehow and the Holy Spirit is giving you a gist that, oh, he had a bad day. And like, whoa. Then you go downstairs. I hope everything was, I really had a bad day. That is the relationship. It's a connection. It's a bond. Because you now have that. He's staying with you. It's an intimacy. It's something that you cannot be there and he will not say anything. If you stay with him, you will hear. But if you always have to rush out, have you seen it happen like that too? Every time you're rushing out, so it's like, we'll just later. The day you now do 2 hours or 3 hours, overload. That day you might not even come out as if you have people as if you are confused. Everything is that, everyone will say, everything is Holy Spirit. It's just that it's been a long time. So I wrote a lot of things. That's why in your daily walk with God, your journal can be 1, 2, 3. If you have a 3 days meeting, you can write 20-page journal. The deeper your walk with God, the more he expresses himself. Then even you to know that you start talking too much too. Sometimes, some things you will never share with anybody. When you get there, you now share it. Some ladies will now start sharing things about their husband with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I really don't know what's wrong. Touch him, knock his head like this and call him back. Then Holy Spirit said, don't worry, when I knock his head, I'll bring him back. And I'll say, okay. You know, you're just praying. Sometimes you are crying. And you are in the place of prayer, you are crying. You're not crying because you are hurt. You are crying because you just poured your heart out. Have you been there where you pour your heart and feel like, I just feel like the burden has lifted. I'm excited I had this conversation. I've had this kind of meetings with people where they're discussing, Pastor, thank you very much. I'm really happy I had this conversation. I feel very, very light right now. That's what happens when you enter into that place with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you enter it not necessarily by long prayers, just by worshiping. Just worship. 10 minutes, 20 minutes. To worship you, I live to worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Oh, anemana kabaraba de la bashaya. Oh. Then in the midst of that worship, he will distract you. Then you go, yeah. Oh. Then once in a while he distracts you again and you pick your pen and you're writing something, then he touches you somewhere, then you change the song. So light of the world, you step down into darkness, you open my eyes, let me. You are the beauty that makes me heart adore you. All for a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down, and here I am to say that you're of worship like this. Sometimes he now starts reminding you of things. You hardly come out of the place of that intimacy confused. Most things will become clear that moment. Because the more you see him, the clearer life becomes. The more you behold him, the clearer things become. So Paul told them, you have experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. Now you are beginning to grow in the love of God every day. He said, please enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let it be with you forever. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Christianity is beautiful. Christianity is beautiful. Christianity is beautiful. Those who are not here are missing. They are missing. And that's why you as a believer, you must not act like somebody who's missing anything. I'm not missing anything. I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. Enjoying myself with my Father. Now listen, if we enjoy this kind of relationship while we are here in time, what if we get to the place where the distraction of time, now in the place of intimacy, sometimes you are distracted by distractions. Oh, I have to wash this, I have to do this, I have to. Just imagine in heaven where those distractions will not be there. No clothes to wash. Just want to stay at your feet. Nothing else. Just want to stay at your feet. Then everything, you will remember that everything outside on face of planet Earth is just noise. Because you are here now, you are not seeing and you are not hearing any noise. You can behold His voice like the mighty thunder. In the midst of the loud noise, you are feeling loved. The communion of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's in the place of studying the Word of God. You just sit down and you're reading some things. Then Rema drops and you say, hey! Like I was sharing with them in Ojodu Church. Who has made me an able minister of the new covenant? Kai, He made me able. He made me, I'm able. Like I'm capable. He didn't look at me and say, analyzing you, you have flaws. No, I am able. I don't know if you understand. I went back to the room that night and I sat down and what I was reading again. I am able. Like I can't fail again. He has enabled me. That's revelation. It comes from the place of intimacy. You just stay there alone. You can actually start studying the Word of God and you are there for 2 hours. Just dissecting some things and looking at some things. You are there. And by the time you're coming out of that place, there is this boldness that you will have. The reason is because you have stayed with love. You are enjoying grace. That communion is what somebody is getting into this season of your life. God is bringing you again and drawing you. He's weighing you. He brought me into His banqueting hall, He says in Songs of Solomon. And His banner over me is love. Rise on your feet tonight. I'm in love. I'm in love. Oh, with Jesus. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. Oh. With Jesus, I'm in love. I am the When love is manifested, it releases grace. When grace is received, it brings you into intimacy. When grace is received, it brings you into intimacy. So tonight we are going to share the communion of the blood of Jesus that released the second level of our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So today I can fellowship with the Holy Spirit and get answers for my business, direction for my life, the pathway to my career. It is in the place of fellowship that you hear. It is in the place of fellowship that you see. It is in the place of fellowship that secret things are told to you. The secret things of God belongs to those who fear Him. Those who have that intimacy with Him. The secret things of God belongs to them. The secret things of God. So He has secret things, but He will only share with those people who enjoy intimacy. You need to go back tonight and say, Father, I just want to enjoy the fullness of your love, where you can talk to me at every moment. Every moment. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now listen. Every time you hear God outside that secret place, it is because the secret place does exist. That's why you can hear outside. And this is how it works. I've had discussions with my wife in the room. We talked about some things in the house and all that. Then I'm going out to buy one thing or the other. Based on the discussion we had, I can call her at the moment she didn't even expect. I say, hello babe, Alpha, that thing is color green. Should I buy green or blue? Why? We already discussed something to buy. The reason you don't hear God in the normal course of the day is because nothing happened before. If something had happened before, when you come out in the day, both of you will continue the gist like that. So the communion of the Holy Spirit does not end at that place. It's a continuation. It is a what you get outside. If husband and wife are quarreling in the house, what happens normally? Will he call? Will she call? Why? Because the fellowship is lacking. So they are not communicating. The reason you have not been hearing God, fellowship is lacking. When you start having that intimacy, when you step out of your house, he will tell you, why pass my two? Just leave my two and pass this Yanoba Road. I want to buy my sister. No, pass the side. And you're like, okay. And by the time you pass that side, you realize that there was a heavy traffic somewhere there. Out of the release of your communion, your fellowship, he can discuss with you about every little detail of your life. He said, I don't even know what to do. What am I supposed to? Should I go by 4 or 3? And he's saying, you know what? Just go to where you're going to. 5 o'clock will not be bad. He said, why? I've seen it. That person will come late. And you finish achieving 1, 2, 3, 4, you still achieve 5. Whereas the person that does not have that kind of connection will go and sit down there from morning till night. Brothers and sisters, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes your life easy. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes your journey easy. Your journey will not be hard. Your journey will not drag. In the name of Jesus. Look me here now. Look at me here. Before we take this communion this evening, as we are face to face with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're not born again, the old nature cannot fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you take this communion here now without having that relationship with Jesus, that communion will not activate your relationship with Jesus. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made. That is where the relationship is activated. This communion is a reminder. It's reminding us of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary to purchase our redemption, so that this fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be possible. Without the blood, it would never have been possible. So he said to us, do this blood over and over and over and over as it reminds you of what I did on the cross of Calvary to bring you into this other fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say stop it and this is the fellowship now. No. He's saying do this as a prototype. As often as you do it, you are showing the Lord's death until he comes. So every time we appear before the communion, we see the blood of Jesus. We see the body of Jesus. It reminds us of the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Everything that is available in the blood of Jesus becomes our reality when we take the communion. It's a covenant. All that belongs to him is now mine. All that belongs to me is now his. Do you understand that? Does it make any sense to you? So you see that the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. After he had eaten, he gave all of them. Guess what? That night, they showed us what fellowship was. Why? It is from one bread that they were breaking and sharing everybody. It is called koinonia. It's called joint participation. It is called fellowship. It is called intimacy. It is from, do you know that in the day Jesus Christ, the blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, the day he did that communion with them rather, they did not take one cup like all of us are taking today. Sir, it was just one cup. Peter did not drink and say, ah, James, your mouth is smelling. James did not drink and say, ah, Peter, you drank last. Let me clean it. Now, why I'm saying this and I'm bringing it, I know we're laughing and joking about, but you need to understand that they were so bonded. They forgot their personal identities and they were only seeing him. The only person each person remembered drank from that cup was Jesus. So when Peter was drinking from the cup, he didn't remember James ever touched the mouth was there, or Philip or whoever. They had bonded so much that even if Philip drank from that cup and part of whatever from the mouth of Philip dropped there, James drank it with joy. Peter drank it, it was participation. That is the kind of communion that you have with husband and wife. Those days, I am one of those kind of people in school that when we there, it was pure water. We usually buy ice water. So when they buy the ice water, somebody drinks, you will pour it out and just wash your own mouth before you will drink. That is if I will drink your own from that mouth. Because my own kind of person, I will open the other side. If we must drink it together. In fact, there are some people I will not still open the other side. It shows that I'm showing you how far we are from ourselves. But since I got married to my wife, she has not carried a cup to drink from. Then I will now be thinking. I just drink. Intimacy has memorized me. I have lost my sense of self into relationship. I have lost the consciousness of my trying to be very organized into this relationship. So there's a level of relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. You are not forming too organized. You don't understand what I'm saying. Your touch and everything dies because he is now your life. We are now sharing life. We are now bonded. Child of God, this is true intimacy. All these apostles drank from one cup that day and everybody was excited about what they were drinking and went home in peace and joy. Today, God is reminding us of the same thing. As you are drinking from this communion cup today, though we are drinking from different cups, but he's saying that you are one in Christ. We are united with him. We are bonded with him. His blood has brought us together. His blood shed on the cross of Calvary has become the propitiation for our sins. And our sins are forgiven. Do we understand what I'm saying here? Does anybody understand what I'm saying today? So you can take this blood today and remind yourself that by the blood of Jesus, I have been sealed, saved, sanctified. I now have access to intimacy. This blood gives me access to that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. As you take that blood, can you see it? Can you picture it? Everything that the blood can do can be replicated in your life. Sicknesses and diseases, pain, fear, doubt, everything fades when the blood takes the center stage. Right now, as you take this blood, I pray for everyone. It reminds you of all Jesus has done and brings the reality of everything Jesus did on the cross. Healing, deliverance from oppression, salvation from all manner of things that have held you in the name of Jesus. And if anyone is in church tonight, you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you need to come before the communion. Taking the communion without salvation is not discerning the Lord's body. It means that you are not discerning. Discerning means to know that this is the body of Jesus and I value it. And it takes a person who has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior to do that. You want to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior this night so that you can take your communion, first communion with revelation. Your first communion with understanding. You probably took it somewhere and you know that you're not serious about it. No, but now you are in PDCC and I'm sharing this with you. You want to take this communion with understanding that, now I am saved. I am born again. To love him every day of my life. I'm going to pray with you. Quietly raise your hand. Every other person, we're going to be singing the song, "By the Blood You Crush Principality." And while we're singing it, I would like you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for those people that want to accept Jesus into their heart so that you can partake of this communion table. Communion is for those who have believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand wherever you are right now? If you want to do that, if you are online, indicate, get your own wine, get your own bread online, and participate in this. And you say after me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive your blood and I receive your body as a token that brought about my redemption, my forgiveness of sin. And declare now I am born again. I come in union with you. All the days of my life I will serve you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to take the communion right now. Please take notes. As you come around to take the communion, when you get here, it is the wider side of the knob that you open, not the small side. The wide side is where you open. worship him this year and just bless the people.
Oh, I live to make you smile.
Jesus. Stretching forth his hands to show them. He showed them where he was punctured. The mark of the blood. And the pain that he went through. He said, look at it. Just because he showed them that hand, as your hands are stretched, everything that Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, as he showed them to say it is finished, so your hands are stretched, and I declare right now that pain, that sickness, that disease, that fear, that doubt, it is finished in the name of Jesus. Somebody's coming back to say, after that communion, I was supernaturally healed. After that communion, depression disappeared from my life. After this communion, you will discover that the power of the Holy Spirit and the intimacy that we enjoy with him, you will come into a deeper walk with him in the name of Jesus. He's well with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.